Welcome to the King's Anywhere podcast, inspirational teaching, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whenever you're ready.
Today we're looking at the topic of fellowship, and one of the things that I feel that we're being invited into is a deeper fellowship with God today in that space of love. So this is part of a series that we're doing from Acts 2. So we're going to start off just by having a little look at those verses that we are exploring. So it's Acts 2, verse 22. Let me just find it. So you should have on the screen, yeah. So this is our series that we're doing at the moment, and it's called Devoted. Okay, so when you hear the word devoted, you may well have sort of different ideas, maybe a devotion to a sport or a hobby or a person, perhaps. But what we're exploring is, what is the Bible saying to us today about being devoted, and what this early church were doing and why they were doing it? Why were they devoted, and what did it look like? So the passage that we're looking at is from verse 42 in Acts 2. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So it's an incredible passage, isn't it, to think about how everything started. So how did, you know, they'd just experienced walking with Jesus for 3 years. They'd seen him crucified and gone through the trauma of, you know, seeing this person that they'd followed die tragically, horrific way. They'd gone through that horrible Saturday feeling of going, what on earth is going to happen? They'd been able to rejoice together in the resurrection. And then the Holy Spirit came and fell on them and gave them a power and authority that I don't think they were expecting. And I think even though they'd heard Jesus talk about this promise of the Spirit, I don't think they had a clue what was going to happen. And they were together in this devotion right at the start, before it was about to explode Christianity all over the world. And today, we are part of this book of Acts. So as we meet here today, we are part of this story of being devoted to each other and to teaching and fellowship and all the rest. We get to be part of this. So it's really, really important that we know what it means to be devoted. Because I don't know about you, but I would love to see an explosion of Jesus out of this body of people. I mean, I'm seeing it, to be honest. I'm seeing it. But I would love to see the power, the full power of the Holy Spirit erupting from the ground. I would love to see this place shake with Holy Spirit power that drives us into a deeper, transformative state in our personal lives and out into our communities. Wouldn't you love it to see Jesus transform your household and your street, yourself? You know, when we've been hearing from God today, we've been hearing the prophetic messages that God is saying to us in this room today. He sees the chains, he sees the lies that are on us, and he has the power to strip them away and the desire to see us free. That's incredible. Isn't that incredible? I just feel like we've got such an invitation today. We've got such an invitation to walk in freedom, in the power that we see in Acts. Yeah, that wasn't in any of my notes. I apologize. So today we're focusing on the fellowship. Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to draw your attention to is, it doesn't say in verse 42 They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. It says the fellowship. Okay, so there's something significant about the word the in that. It's not just about being friendly with each other. There's something that is really significant about the fellowship. And we're going to be exploring, what does that mean? What does fellowship actually mean for us? What did it mean for them then? And what does it mean for us now? Is it different to the way that our society lives? And if it is different, does that mean that we need to be different? Does that mean we need to act in the same way that the Bible's teaching? Or is it okay to be flexible around our culture? We're going to be thinking about how, you know how in King's Church we often talk about keeping the balance between up, in, and out, right? So this is called the fellowship, this topic today. And I would guess, you know, most of us would kind of think, right, well, that squarely fits in the in category, right? We're talking in today, lots of relationships. But actually, the fellowship is so equally spread across all three of these points. It's about a fellowship with God. It's looking up to God. How am I open and intimate with God? How is his relationship impacting my life? It is about our relationships, and it's about fellowship with people, to share the love of God with them, to see them saved and set free and restored. So fellowship is definitely an up, in, and out balance. So we're going to be exploring a bit of that today. Okay, so let's have a little look again at this passage and see, first of all, how these early Christians lived out this description of what it meant to be devoted to the fellowship. Okay, so if we just go on to the next slide. So there's some specific examples here, and I think they tell us some important things. So from verse 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Togetherness is really, really important, isn't it? So they made a priority of being together. They had everything in common. That doesn't mean that they were the same or they liked the same things. It's that they didn't possess things and keep them secret and safe like Gollum with the ring. It wasn't like, this is my secret safe thing, this is mine. It was, no, let's be community. We have everything in common. Like when we bring food, like when we had lunch here a couple of weeks ago, we all came and we brought our food and we put it on the table and we shared, didn't we? That was a beautiful example of sharing, having things in common. Verse 45 says, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone, anyone, as he had need. Oh, sold things. Can't quite get my head around. That one feels the hardest. What, so somebody has a need and I meant to sell something I worked really hard for? Oh, that's a bit difficult. But for me, what that tells us about that community is that they valued people more than things. So they said, the fact that you're in need, and you know what, we've got a bigger purpose here. We've got a vision to see Jesus break through into the lives of the entire world. So let's not worry about who owns this field or who owns that cloth. Let's sell this because there's a need that needs to get met here. Let's sell that. It's temporal anyway. It's not gonna last. Let's sell that and let's go for the vision. Let's go for the bigger picture. They valued people and the vision more than things. Verse 46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Something about the hearts there, isn't there? They actually wanted to do this. They weren't forced into it. They weren't guilt-tripped into it. They actually had a real desire to be together, and they wanted to do it. They were happy about doing it. They were rejoicing in it. And they prioritized meeting together, not just weekly, daily. Daily they were together. They met in the temple space, in the big space, and they met in the small, intimate space in the homes. And they broke bread together. They had Jesus at the center. It was It was everything. And verse 46 and 7. Yep, so verse 46 I've just read. Verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So when they broke bread together in their homes, they were having communion. They were remembering. Every time we do communion here, we're remembering together as one people the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And together, we're having that moment of saying, God, I repent. I have this moment with you, Lord, and I'm saying, I repent of everything that's got in the way of me receiving the fullness of your forgiveness. And God, I'm going to choose today to walk in the power of the cross and resurrection. I thank you for that. And then it's when we're together, when we're saying together, we get to be a people released by the power of the cross, by the freedom that comes from the resurrection, the breaking of chains, he broke the chain of death and hell. The power has been defeated. And we together get to live our lives in that power. That's amazing, isn't it? I don't think we live like that. I think we often get distracted by what we feel is our weakness, or our temptations, or our circumstances, or other people, or but we get to stand in the power and the victory. And when they met and had communion, they broke bread in their homes, they were saying, as a family, we say yes to this power, and we say yes to the vision that we are drawn together under Jesus. So they remembered very frequently together who Jesus was and the power of the resurrection. I think that's amazing. What a great start to church. That's what church is. It's a people together because of the power of Jesus. Like, we just sang that amazing song, I Speak Jesus. I love that song because that's who we are. We're a people that are to speak Jesus everywhere. And sometimes in the mirror. When you're brushing your teeth in the morning and you see yourself in the mirror and you've got like toothpaste on, your hair is probably still a mess. And you look in the mirror and you go, Jesus loves me. I was created for a purpose. I have been placed in this community of committed believers for a reason. I've got a role here. I'm loved here. And we're doing this together. Even in this mess, God has a purpose and he loves us. So these people were starting out and their priorities had completely shifted. Completely shifted. Because Jesus changes everything. He just does. Now, in the Bible, when we look at this passage, obviously it's been translated, hasn't it? So when we read our Bibles, there's Bibles all over the world in loads of different languages, and they've been translated. And so the original language used that this has been translated for, where it says fellowship, it's actually the word koinonia. Koinonia. Do you know what it makes me think of? It's carbonia. But yes. So I was thinking, don't say that. And I've got my shoes on that I threw across the room last time I preached as well, so they are staying on my feet today, I promise. So this is a really interesting word, and it's used 20 times in the Bible. So what I thought would be useful is to get a better understanding about what this word means, is to look at some of those examples. So as a general understanding, this word means a joint participation, sharing, and intimacy. That's quite a lot more than just being friendly to somebody on a Sunday, isn't it? You know, when somebody walks in, you smile and you go, oh, hi, nice to see you. That's great. I love your T-shirt. Yeah, looking great. Brill. I mean, that's friendly, but it's not fellowship that we're hearing about in the Bible. So let's look at these examples. Now, I had marked, look how organized I was. I organized my Bible and put all my little pink post-it notes, but I forgot to write any of the scriptures on them. So give me a second. So the first one is Galatians 2:20. Got it. Okay, so Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's not the right verse. It's an amazing verse, right? Thank you. That's, do you know why that is? That's been highlighted because it was my memory verse a couple of weeks ago. Okay, so Galatians 2:9 says instead, James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. Okay, so this is a community of people, okay? And they are sending people out. They're saying, yes, we agree that you are somebody that God has anointed to go out and spread the word. People aren't just going off on a jolly and going, oh, I think God's telling me to do this today. I'm out. I'm off doing it. It's a community that come together and say, let's seek God together. We know that he's a sending God. But let's seek God together for where he's sending us. What is he sending us to do? Let's do this together. Let's do this empowered together, equipped together. So Galatians 2:20 shows us that this koinonia word is talking about being able to equip each other and commission each other under the anointing of the Father, which is awesome. Okay, so 1 John 1:3. 1 John 1:3 says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. I love that. That was verse 4 at the end. Joy comes from living in relationship with God, doesn't it? It's amazing. So this tells us that in the context of the fullness of the Trinity, we get to see the gospel spread. And it's in that intimate relationship that the Trinity has and we get to have with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit that really demonstrates this sense of fellowship, the power that comes from that sense of joint participation. You know, right from Genesis, the Bible teaches us that God, Jesus, God the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit were at work together. Together they created everything. Together they created us. They created church. Together they have empowered us to bring the hope of Jesus, to bring the hope of freedom and salvation to the world. So in the context of the fullness of the Trinity and the gospel, koinonia exists. Okay, Hebrews 10:33. Okay, sometimes, let me find it again. Yep, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. So standing together in persecution is an incredibly powerful example of this fellowship. We're not saying that when we're in relationship with each other, everything's suddenly going to be easy. We're going to carry each other's burdens and everything's just going to be simple. You know, if you're in need, somebody's going to sell their house and give you money. It's saying, do you know what? In these really hard times, we're going to stand together. We're going to face the onslaught together. And we know that we might get hurt. We know that things might not be, you know, cool runnings. But we're going to stand together in it. So we're going to partner with people in persecution because of the gospel. Okay, so it's all in the power of God because we're moving with him. Okay, Philemon 1:6. All these pink post-it notes. Not my friend. I should have brought my phone. Oh, that was it. Okay. It says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So together we are empowered to share mission, to share in mission, because we have been blessed together by Christ. And then the last one we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians 13, which says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I feel like that's the end of a service now. But it's, again, it's the Trinity. It's saying that together we get to follow the example of the Trinity. The Trinity models what it is to be in true relationship, to be in true intimate participation together in the vision. So fellowship is modeled by the Trinity. We get to have fellowship with the Trinity, with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. We get to be in that intimate relationship with them. And fellowship by the Spirit, so empowered to declare the gospel and to see God's glory, which is incredible. You know, often this idea of intimacy, the reality is it comes from vulnerability. We have to be a bit more open. Now, yesterday I was down in London visiting family, and you know what it's like with family. Like, they just see past all of your airs and graces, don't they? They just see the real you. And I was sat in the garden with my brother and his two little kids, and they're like 2.5 and 4, and like the cutest kids ever. And so I was just, it was sunny, I was chilling, and I kicked my shoes off, as you do, and I was just showing them how to do cartwheels and backwards rolls, and we were just prattling about on the grass, as you do. And then this morning I woke up to a photograph that my brother sent me of me sat on the grass with my legs over the back of my head trying to teach them how to do backwards rolls, and I thought, oh, great. Lovely for my birthday, that, isn't it? Like, the most undignified picture. But I just thought how sweet it was that, you know, when you're with family, you don't care. Like, it's just, you can just be you. You know, as they're like, oh, such a mess. It was like top falling down, proper back fat going on. Oh, dear me, this isn't ladylike. And then I looked at it, and because I'd been to my sister's hen do, that's why I was in London. So she had a WhatsApp group for the ladies in the hen do. So I sent them the picture. And I said, well, you guys were all having a very civilized brunch. This is what I was up to. And immediately, it starts to create conversation. Any walls started to come down a little bit. Because when we make ourselves vulnerable and we show our wobbly bits, then people feel that they can hear you. People want to reveal part of themselves. And you know what? Relationships develop. Honest relationships grow. And it's those relationships that are significant and powerful. There's no point constantly trying to, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not saying we should walk around at our worst all the time. But when we're honest with people, it's really empowering. It grows genuine, committed relationships. And Jesus is always our example, right? I'm not saying Jesus did anything undignified like that. However, when you look at his life, it's kind of amazing. And I was reading this book. It's really good, if anybody's interested. But the author sort of describes Jesus' life, talking about how humble he was, right? I thought I'd read it to you, just a little bit. So, it says, think about it. God came to earth, not in a flashy show of signs and wonders, but as an infant born into poverty and obscurity. After living as a refugee in Egypt, he returned to grow up in Nazareth, a backwards town a long way from the big city. He waited 30 years to begin any public ministry, and even then refused to do miracles on demand or overwhelm people with his brilliant intellect. His ministry was small and almost invisible by the world's standards. Throughout his ministry, Jesus exercised his power carefully so as not to manipulate or force people into following him. He revealed just enough of himself to make faith possible, but hid just enough of himself to make faith necessary. For his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he rode not on a magnificent war horse like Alexander the Great, but a humble donkey, and he allowed himself to be arrested and treated as if he were a common criminal. Then, as he hung on the cross, in the worst moment of his earthly life, his final prayer was a question he quoted from the Psalms. My God, why have you forsaken me? What kind of exemplary model of leadership is this? Couldn't he have demonstrated faith and calm by quoting another psalm instead, such as, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? Consider the following passage, which describes Jesus as weak in the Garden of Gethsemane. Read it slowly, I'm not going to read all that. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed desperately to God and said, "God, take this from me. I don't want to do this." He knew death was coming. And he's like, "God, look, I want the outcome of this. I'd rather not go through the pain. I feel weak. I don't want to go through this, but for your glory, for their salvation, I will do this." He wasn't afraid to be weak in front of the Father. He asked his disciples, "Guys, pray for me. I need you. Pray for me." And they kept falling asleep, but you know, he kept saying, "Please, I need you." These were young guys. Like, Jesus, the master of all, was saying, "Please pray for me." We need to be open about our weakness, our challenges, our vulnerabilities, and say to each other, "Guys, pray for me. I need you. I'm struggling. I feel weak." I can guarantee there's people in this room who have got challenges that they are keeping locked up because they feel that they will not be heard or supported if they dare to be weak in front of somebody else. Let's be a people who listen, who ask, who seek to come alongside each other and say, "We are in this together. I lay down my selfish necessity to be always organized and, you know, structured. I'm going to lay it down because you are more important than my diary. You are more important than my money. You are more important than my things." Let's model ourselves on Jesus. We need to ask for help, and we need to be a people that offer that help. A people on fire, empowered by the Spirit. There is a quote from Rowan Williams about the church being built into maturity. And I really like this quote. I've been mulling around on it for a little while. And it's just on the next slide, I think. Slide 5. So he says, "Church is what happens when the news and presence of Jesus raised from the dead impact upon the human scene, drawing people together in relationship that changes everyone involved. A relationship which means that each person involved with Jesus is now involved with each other, who have answered his invitation in ways that are painful and demanding, but are also life-giving and transforming beyond imagination." Isn't that incredible, that quote? I kind of really, this is a guy who's studied loads, you know, experienced church life loads, and he's seen this. You know, this is what the Bible preaches about bringing us together into a genuine fellowship. Relationship where everybody is changed. Are we changed by the relationships that we have in Kings? The only way that we can be changed is when we let our guards down and we're open with each other and we're saying, "I'm willing to be moldable. I'm willing to be teachable. I'm willing to hear you and to speak. I'm willing to be seen outside of this building." It's a real life thing. So yes, you know, we read out all that stuff before about the disciples meeting together every day, doing all this stuff. It's absolutely about being committed to being here on a Sunday morning, being here in our missional communities, being here on prayer nights. It's absolutely, that is it. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. So I'd be giving you half a story if I said, hey, come on, guys, we just need to be committed to showing up. It's so much more than that. It's, are we real with each other? Are we putting these relationships as the importance they should have? Because this is where our relationship with God is worked out. This is how we are challenged to grow. And it is absolutely life-giving and absolutely transformative and an incredible invitation. Absolutely incredible invitation. And we lock ourselves up in boxes and we hide our ugly bits. But you know, it's so incredibly beautiful when we just take those veils off and just say, guys, I need some help. Absolutely incredible. I was going to talk about Ephesians 4 because it's an incredible chapter. It's in your notes. I would suggest that in your missional communities, you read through chapter 4 of Ephesians and discuss together some of these key points. I just want to read one verse from Ephesians 4. And then you guys can process this together at a later time. So, verse 16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Ephesians 4 is an incredible chapter, and it just emphasizes the need to actually be unified together as church. But I love this particular verse because what it's saying is it's the Spirit of God that builds us together. God built his church. We just get to join in what he's doing. But we get to play our part. And I wonder today whether some of us are just being prompted by God because you know that he's asked you to play a part and you felt you're not good enough or you're too busy or some other reason. And God's just saying to you today, you are part of something. You're really part of something. And there are people in this room and outside this room who long to know you and help you grow in your gifting. So just maybe take a moment to think, what is the part that God is asking me to be? And sometimes it's just somebody to be open. But allow God to speak into that for you. And so the last thing we're going to think about now is how we all know, don't we, that actions speak louder than words. And it's really important that when we read the Bible, so we read this passage, Acts 2, 42 to 47, and we think, wow, isn't that amazing? They did this, and weren't those early Christians so great? But God is saying to us today, hey guys, you're part of this. You're part of this chapter of Acts. You are the church being equipped and released to represent God. How are we going to respond to what God is saying to us today? So for some people, it might be that you've never actually started your intimate relationship with God. Guys, you get to do that today. If that's you and you've never said yes to Jesus, you get to do that today. And it's the most incredible privilege that you can ever have. And we've talked about Jesus, how he died on the cross, how he rose on the third day. He has all power and authority to bring forgiveness, to wipe our sins away. We start afresh. It's an incredible relationship with God, but it starts with us humbling ourselves and saying, oh man, I've tried to do things my own way. It's not working, because it never does, let's be honest. I've tried to do things my own way. I've not looked to you, God, and I turn to you today, and I repent of doing it my own way. I repent of all the sin, all the mess. God, I choose to follow you. I choose to learn about who you are, Lord. I choose to be part of a body of people who are following you. And God, I'm going to walk in your light. God, thank you that your light casts out all darkness. Darkness has to flee, and I get to walk in your light. You get to say that today. So if you've never done that, do it. Speak to somebody. If you've come to church with somebody today, speak to that person or speak to me, and we will definitely pray with you for that opportunity. But it could be that you felt today like you're only maybe a little bit half in and half out of being part of fellowship with the other believers. So one of our values is that we're a community of committed believers. Now, you might feel like you're a bit in and out and, you know, you can't really give your all. It's all a bit challenging. Life's a bit hard. Life is always hard and we're in it together. So you are invited today to say, right, I am all in. I want to be part of this community of committed believers and we're going to walk together. I'm going to be open. Today is a moment for you to say, yes, I want to just be all in. 100%. I want to give everything. It's what Tim, you were saying that before, weren't you? I want to just give 100%. I want to be in this. This is shared participation and intimate relationship. It's incredible. It could be that you've never been part of a missional community. You've never joined a missional community yet, or you're not currently in a missional community. They are incredibly great opportunities to live this out, what we're talking about here. Koinonia, Kavonia. It's a great way to live this out because it's a small group. You don't have to be like, you know, intimate and everything with everybody. Not everything gets shared with absolutely everybody, but you have a family that you are saying, right, we're going to be honest together. We're going to let this, walk this together and be real. Iona bless has had to hear all kinds of my dramas and walked with me through all kinds of things. What a blessing, what a privilege that is. To have somebody like Iona and the rest of the group to be able to walk life. So if you're not part of a missional community, guys, today is the day. Say yes. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to promise to be part of the, say, like this one definite one, but ask to go visit some and see what you feel God leading you into. Might be something else. God might be doing something else in your heart today. I don't know. Maybe something. God's just been prompting you. I'm just going to pray for us all. And I think, yeah, guys, if you want to come up. As we have a time of worship, this is a beautiful time when we're in worship together to be vulnerable, to let all the barriers down. Because we're before our King and we're before our family. It doesn't have to look pretty. It just has to be honest. He wants that sincere heart. So I'm going to pray for us and then let's worship together. So Lord God, I just thank you so much that you are the King. I thank you that we get to just surrender to the King today. God, we surrender to you and we together as a community of committed believers say we have each other's back. We are going to stand shoulder to shoulder with each other, no judgment. No expectation, but an honest thirst for you, Holy Spirit, to do a work in us that we cannot work in ourselves. God, I thank you that you bring transformation. God, you bring hope. God, you have a message to the world, and it is through your church that we get to just display your glory. God, we just pray right now that through a transformative moment with you, as a community, God, that you would empower us into our families to see salvation, to see healing, to see amazing wonders happen. God, into our streets, into our workplaces, our colleges, our schools. God, that we would see you at work. God, that we would see a Jesus eruption through our community because we are vulnerable and open enough with you today to say yes. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To find out more about King's Church Warrington, visit our website or find us on Facebook and Instagram.